Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
My name is Reggie. I'm about kicking ass. I'm about taking names. And we're about making games.
Reggie! The line that made you famous. I'm gonna miss you, Reggie!
Oh, and Telly's Tyler's here too.
You mock, but I honestly was a little choked up watching Reggie's.
I'm not mocking. I'm devastated.
It was so sad.
It was so sad.
I did not need that when I looked at Twitter this afternoon.
No, I did not.
It was just the last thing I need to see. I was excited because it said Reggie has something to tell you, and I was like, "Well, Reggie has something to tell us. This is going to be awesome."
No, it wasn't.
No.
So, yes, we are going to be addressing Reggie in his retirement. We're actually going to have two special segments to talk about this. But first, we need to get to some other things. And we're going to start it off with, what have you been playing? I'm going to start this one off because I can honestly say I've been playing a lot of video games this week. Because ever since that glorious Nintendo Direct we had last week, there's been a lot of demos and games and such to play. So... first up, I played the Daemon X Machina prototype missions. It was fun. You know, there are some things that clearly need to be cleaned up. Graphics was one of the biggest things, because at times it was gorgeous, and then, like, in the character select screen, I'm playing handheld mode again, and, like, I would zoom out my character and it just went straight pixelated. There's some other, like, small graphics issues. The gameplay is surprisingly fast. Like, when I think of mech games, I don't think of the speed, but clearly the team at Marvelous and everyone else was like, no, we gotta make these guys fast. So, you know, you could fly really quickly, you can, like, skate on the ground, and the customization is clearly the best aspect of the game
by far.
I went for a bazooka sword combo, and it really helped me in the boss fight, but I clearly got to work on my strategy a little more. But the controls were good enough. I think they could use a little bit of tweaking, and the camera was one of the biggest detriments to me. Overall, I think it's good. I like where this is going. I look forward to seeing what comes next. Koopa Keith is absolutely in love with this game.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my gosh, my mecha itch has been scratched. I'm like, good for you. So, but then he's more of an Armored Core fan than I ever was. So, but yeah, I thought it was fun. And again, this is Nintendo putting out demos like this is great, because it worked for ARMS, it worked for Splatoon. It worked for, Octopath Traveler.
Yes.
So, I thought it was a lot of fun. So, I'm definitely going to be paying attention to this. Hopefully, we get the announcement when it's coming out this year. So, we'll see. And then, of course, Tetris 99. Dear gosh, this game is so wrong in how addicting it is.
Yep.
If you don't remember what it was, this was basically it's the simplest thing ever. You're playing Tetris against 98 other people, and you're just doing your thing, you know, trying to, you know, get a, you know, break the blocks and lines and everything. But while you're doing that, all these 98 other players are fighting each other, and some of them are fighting you to screw you up so you'll lose before they do, and then you get ranked based on when you fall out, and it's so addicting.
Yes, like have you had those moments like okay, I'm just minding my own business, and then at the beginning all the lasers pointed at you.
Yes. I can honestly say I have never ever been knocked out first, but I have been knocked out second. And it's just like, okay, and this is why I love this game, is that you can't fully feel bad when you lose, because you have the odds set against you. It's such a large margin that it's almost wrong to be upset because of how stacked the odds are, and yet you're not going to rage quit this game, because you have the urge to do better than you did the last time. So, my highest rank so far is 4th of 99, So that was actually pretty good. I'm still working on that elusive first place, but I'm getting better. And I'm surprised by how much my strategies have been. Like, I'm relearning Tetris in a way, and I'm getting really, really good at, like, strategizing and knowing where to put blocks and how to think of it all. So it's been a lot of fun. And then, of course, I've been playing Heroes. Oh my gosh. So I had 367 orbs.
Always, dude.
And so I went to get the wolf skin and Kitsune banner, and I got exactly one of them after 167 orbs. So I stopped.
Jeez Louise,
Well, I
man.
got Alm. Alm screwed me. I got Alm again, and so like that course resets your five gauge or your star gauge, and so I'm like, well, I gotta at least get one. There's a thankfully on like the second to last pull I ever did, I got a. Who did I get? See, I can't even remember because
Keaton,
I
you got
didn't
Keaton.
care.
Keaton, Keaton.
Yeah, I got Keaton. That was it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can live with that. So I'm good. So yeah, I'm good. So yeah, thankfully I got all four of the Lagoos the last time. So I'm okay with that.
I guess I'll jump in it right now,
By all
but yeah,
means.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm surprised you used that much, even though we had the chance to get earn first summon tickets on the on Forge Your Bonds event that's happening right now,
Yeah,
so
but
you could,
you have to work up to get those. It's not like you just go in and get it the first time. You have to
and
get
you
like
couldn't be patient to do that, sir.
No! Because I honestly hate the forging bonds because it's so random in what the hearts you get. So you could say, oh yeah, you'll have a better chance of getting this heart, and then you use that stuff and then you don't get that heart for like seven times in a row. And it's just like, what the heck? So yeah, I'm not gonna be patient.
But if you max out one of them, it then goes to the next category. So again, it kind of covers each other up regardless. So yeah, you're
Not
just
really.
hitting your hearts for the point. But meh. But yeah. But overall, yeah. For me, yeah. I just want to go and compliment regarding to Daemon X Machina. I actually tried it myself. Not too long. Yeah, I think a few days ago as well. I tried it on the handheld mode with Joy-Cons. I really want to try it with the Pro Controller. But yeah, like if you love your armored cores, if you love like mechas overall, it's just like, holy moly, this thing is truly a mecha. I can only imagine how would it be if they actually handled the Gundam license, honestly. So yeah, Daemon X Machina is definitely a title to definitely look out for. Definitely has some things have to work out, but the voice acting, I'm surprised they got the union. They got Patrick Seitz and Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, which is like, holy moly, they already got star power VAs behind it. So yeah, Daemon X Machina, they look forward to it. Tetris 99 as well. I mean, if anybody has seen my Twitter, I actually what came out on top twice, which I was very happy. Just like, is as you said, Todd, Tetris 99 is just like, it's so simple. We have a review here on the Outer Haven, which Josh reviewed. It is basically Tetris at the end of the day, but at the same time, it's like, it's short, quick bursts. Heck, I've been playing so many matches in my lunch breaks. It's like, yeah, it's Tetris, sure, but it's something more addicting about it. The fact that going against 98 other people at the same time and just like trying to screw each other over at the same time, like, do you want to go for KOs? Do you want to defend yourself? It's like, it's that sense of strategy and urgency. It's like, holy moly. I've seen so many people like got out of like dire situations, like almost got KO'd, but getting suddenly turned it around. It's like unbelievable. Like, that's one thing I love about Tetris. So yeah, Tetris 99 is just very addicting, so definitely by far I believe is worth the cost of the Nintendo Online Service. And of course, naturally, the Fae banners, which yeah, I'm not gonna go too much on the wolf skins and the Kitsune banners yet, because as we know, I roughly in 4 days, yeah, at the time of this recording, 4 days from now, the 25th, we're expecting another the second anniversary here, including the new legendary banner. So I'm gonna be waiting on that before sinking my orbs into anything else, honestly. And just to wrap it up, I told the Todd and everyone else here, but I also have recently finished up Kingdom Hearts 3. But don't worry, I will not spoil Todd. But I just want to say, you thought Kingdom Hearts story was so confusing, even though it tried to wrap up so much plot holes and all that. The ending and the secret movie, I am just so lost of what's gonna happen. Let's just leave it at that. I'm so lost at that secret movie ending. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, let's acknowledge how if Will is lost, we're all doomed. All right.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have I told you guys the story of when me and my family went to watch Batman vs. Superman? Speaking of no spoilers.
Oh, no.
What?
So
oh,
no. We went to go watch Batman vs. Superman. And if you've seen that movie, spoiler alert, Superman dies.
Yeah.
My younger brother, we didn't see the movie. It was like the premiere night. He had no idea what was going to happen, but he was just being a twerp. And everybody was trying to buy their tickets. And he's walking out front yelling, "Why are we even going to bother watching this movie? Superman dies." He didn't know that Superman died, but he was just yelling that so loud. And then when Superman actually died, the whole theater just turns and stares at him because he was yelling like a moron in line. They thought he actually knew. I swear he didn't know.
Oh my god.
Stupid. Yeah, so that was that. Wow. That was an all-time classic moment of
that's
just
hilarious. And he honestly didn't know. Like he was just
no
shouting.
Idea. Yeah, he was just being a troll. Like, cause my dad will always do stuff like that. Like, "Oh, I don't know if Spider-Man's going to win." And I think he was doing that same sort of sarcastic, "Oh, I don't know if Superman's going to be all right." But he actually died. So,
Holy crap.
That was all-time classic. Speaking of all-time classics, I've been playing an indie game called Wargroove. Maybe not an all-time classic, but it is darn good. I have never played Advanced Wars, but I imagine it's a lot like Advanced Wars.
It's literally like
my strategy itch.
Yeah, everyone's saying like it's Advanced Wars in a fantasy setting.
Yeah, so. So I mean, that seems about right. It's really, really good. I haven't played it for too long. I'm still pretty early in the campaign, and I did a couple of arcade battles. But what's amazing about this game is the amount of user-created content that's out there. You can create your own maps, you can create your own campaigns, you can create a game within this already super complete game. I mean, there's 12 characters in the arcade that you can play through. There's a main single-player campaign with a fully fleshed-out story. There's a lot of stuff you can do in this game, and I think it's only $20, maybe $25. But it is a really, really good strategy game. I have had a great time playing it and kind of just exploring different tactics. It's pretty hard right out of the box. Like, I think the first couple missions are easy, but as soon as you hit chapter 2, you're going to have your back against the wall. I almost lost a couple of battles in a row, and I was like, by the skin of my teeth, skating by. So you can actually do a lot with the difficulty as well. You can turn it all the way down if you want to. There's custom difficulty options available. But it's really, really good. If you like Fire Emblem, if you like Advanced Wars, I would check this out. Without a doubt, highly recommend. And there's online multiplayer as well. So you can play with a friend. You can go online and take your turns. You can strategize. It's almost like you're solving a puzzle with a friend from afar. So it's pretty cool. I highly recommend that. And then you guys played Daemon X Machina. I played the Yoshi's Crafted World demo.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome. It's so good. Like I'm really excited for Yoshi's Crafted World. The demo is short. You played just one level, but you played it a couple different times with a few different objectives, and the level changed depending on what you were trying to do. So after you beat it the first time, it flips, and then you have the choice to either go back to the menu or to search for Poochie's pups. There's three pups that are hidden throughout the backwards version of the stage, and you can go and try to find them. It controls really good. I'm not a crazy about the music. It's very Yoshi's Island DS, or not Yoshi's Island DS, Yoshi's New Island on the 3DS, like that kind of toy sound, and I don't love that. But outside of that, the controls are really tight. It was easy, but it was obviously the first level and a demo, so I wouldn't, I expect that. But yeah, I would check it out. A lot of charm. Really, really a solid platformer. The only thing I want to see them change is that Yoshi can pretty much just jump forever. So you can turn on easy mode and get wings and just fly forever. But his flutter kick in this game, like if you played Yoshi's Island, you know that you can kind of flutter kick and you won't really fall a lot. You can just do it like with good timing. He won't drop a lot. But in this game, it's pretty impossible to not just jump forever if you wanted to. They should probably change that. That said, highly recommend checking out the demo. I'm really excited for the game.
Yeah. Again, Nintendo with these demos, I mean, this is like becoming their thing now, and it almost seems like, why don't more people do this? You know, like we hear about the end of the betas and like the closed, early access stuff, but just release a dang demo and let us enjoy, you know? Because, again, I really think, especially with, you know, Daemon X Machina and Yoshi, that's another good example. But these demos are going to help sales because players can try them out, see what it's like, and then they'll determine it on that instead of, oh, let's see what the reviews say or let's see what my friends say. So
especially with a lesser known or new IP like Daemon, that's a big selling point. I mean, I wasn't sure if I was going to buy that game, but now that I have the demo download, I just haven't played it yet, I'll be able to give myself a kind of, you know, a feel for it. So it's very helpful, and I definitely wouldn't have given the game a chance otherwise.
Yeah, and we were all uncertain about how Octopath Traveler was going to be, and then the demo like won us over. So yeah, so but yeah, like again, a great gaming weekend. I was actually really happy to have played everything, and I'm going to enjoy more Tetris and then Tetris and Tetris and Tetris and Tetris and Tetris, and then maybe Yoshi. I'll probably get that demo, then back to Tetris. And then once you two finally get available, we'll play Smash Brothers again. So obviously the big news of the day and week and month and year is the departure of Reggie, but we are going to save that for another topic because we want to dedicate the right amount of time to our dear friend Reggie Fils-Aimé. So for right now, we got some other news to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And here I thought that Platinum Games had the monopoly on news stories of the week. Dear gosh. I mean, we're not even just talking about one news story. We're not even talking about Astral Chain from last week. We're talking about new information about Astral Chain, two pieces of Bayonetta news, and maybe the return of a once thought dead Platinum Games franchise. So yeah, let's start off with Astral Chain, because this was the big surprise of last week's Nintendo Direct. One of the big surprises, obviously, Link's Awakening was the big one. Still think it's too cute, just it's too much. But Astral Chain had its debut trailer last week, but because of how, you know, Platinum Games it was, you didn't exactly know what was going on. So Platinum Games has officially set up the website for the title, and it has come a whole bunch of new news and information about the game. So allow me to read to you directly from the website. The Ark. A massive, prosperous, multicultural city. But disaster strikes when mysterious dimensional gates appear, bringing dangerous alien creatures to the Ark to attack the people and corrupt the land. The Ark Police form a special task force known as Neuron to face the alien threat head-on. Humanity's last chance against invasion is a special living weapon called the Legion. As a rookie Neuron officer, you and your Legion will work together to solve cases and save humankind. Astral Chain gives you control over two characters at once for thrilling synergetic action courtesy of Platinum Games. Switch, between several Legion types and skills to save the world your way. Astral Chain features character designs for the acclaimed mangaka Masakazu Katsura from Zetman and Video Girl AI, and marks the directorial debut of Platinum Games' Takahisa Taura, who designed Nier Automata. Or however you say it, Will.
No, you were right. Nier Automata.
Nier Automata. Hideki Kamiya, Director Bayonetta, and Writer-Supervisor Bayonetta 2 provides supervision. And then they go into a little more details about the characters. Like, you get to pick one of two twins as your main character.
Yes.
And the other one will be your best friend, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, this is interesting to be sure. So.
Seeing this information about this Astral Chain, I mean, as I said before, may compare this thing as like, was this basically a cybernetic JoJo reference? Then, yeah, summoning legions, like, I'm just gonna say the old-fashioned legion line, like, we are many, you are but one. that old-fashioned line. And, yeah, it just, I'm really happy that Platinum Games really is, like, investing again into Nintendo, since, as you know, like, Platinum and Nintendo are so close together of recent late. So just to see this, and again, that trailer is just, I want to see more, man. I simply want to see more.
Yeah, I think Astral Chain is definitely a game that, if you're a fan of Bayonetta and you're excited for that game, it feels weird to me, because just we didn't hear about it and it's coming out well before Bayonetta, but I think it looks great, so I'm excited to see more. I'm sure that it'll be something that, with a kind of August release date, I mean, that's not 6 months from now, so we've got a decent amount of time to see more if you're not sold. I'm sure that we'll get a couple more sales pitches in a Nintendo Direct and at E3.
Yeah, it's just when this game came out, again, we didn't expect it to be platinum. Like, I thought it was Monolith Soft revealing their new game, which still means that they've got something to unveil soon, which makes me excited, potentially. But, you know, this just, it was so Japanese. Right?
You got a problem with that?
No, I love Japanese games, but it was just, okay, maybe not all Japanese games, hint, hint, Will. But, again, I know what you tweet about. It's disgusting. But,
there's pasta.
Anyway, but hearing about this, it makes me excited because, again, we still only know a fraction of what's going on, but at least getting some background story, you know, hearing about, you know, the task force, who your characters are, why you're controlling two characters at once. I'm very intrigued with this whole synergetic action thing because it's definitely something that Platinum would do. I was like, oh, why should they control one character at once? Why not control two characters at once? Like, that would be awesome. So, you know, I'm excited to see more of this, to see more trailers about this. So, and again, it's Platinum, and they do quality. Platinum refuses to not do quality. They are that good. They know they're that good. And so, power to them. And hey, Switch exclusive. All right, so that's the first piece of Platinum Games news. Now let's get to the other three. All right, I'm going to save yours for last, Will, because I want you to talk about it. But Bayonetta has gotten two pieces of news-ish this week. First was an interview with Bill Trennan after the Nintendo Direct, and he seemingly confirmed that Bayonetta 3 is coming out this year. Now, there are some people who are saying it's misinterpreted or that the quoting of it is wrong, and that's possible, but based on what he said, he was talking about Astral Chain, and then he brought up Bayonetta 3, and then he went, oh, and that's another game that's going to come out this year that's going to bolster our software line. So, at present, it seems to be that Bayonetta 3 is coming out this year, which we all kind of expected, but it's kind of good to hear from Nintendo. Potentially.
It's, from what I'm basically getting from that news, it's just like, okay, so, I mean, as such, we had two great Platinum properties that's coming out this coming year. I mean, again, Astral Chain coming out in August, and Bayonetta, my estimation, at least probably in the fall season or even in the winter season. Heck, I do not mind if it comes out at the end of the year. But, just, like, there's always will be the chance that it may be possibly delayed, anything. I mean, at the worst case scenario, it will be pushed back to 2020, which... Hopefully not, but again, you never know in game development. And of course, recently, if I recall correctly, didn't the head of one of the heads of Platinum Games also recently retired as well? Also left.
Yeah,
I know one of the employees.
Yeah, the head of I think the original Bayonetta 2. The head of Bayonetta 2.
Oh, the director of Bayonetta 2 left Platinum Games. So yeah, that's also kind of interesting. I wonder if that's kind of affected as well. So that's kind of something to think about. I wonder.
I think it would definitely be a really good title to have this year, maybe later in the year in October.
November.
But I just don't think that they would release it that close. I don't know if November's the best month to release it either, because we're probably going to get Pokemon in November.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I think that's an ideal solution. But I do see it as a good October title. That being said, it is really close to Astral Chain, which is August 30th. So, I mean, could it slide to December? I could see that. That would be a solid time to release it, I would say, right around when it was announced 2 years before at the Game Awards.
Yeah. But guaranteed, we have to get a trailer by E3.
Yes.
I understand they're still working on it, and that's fine, but we need a trailer by E3, alright? So, get on it, Platinum Games. So, you thought we were done with Bayonetta news? No, we're not. Because the one and only Hideki Kamiya has posted on Twitter saying Mortal Kombat Cross Bayonetta. Huh. Yeah. So the internet, needless to say, is of two minds on this, because one, this totally makes sense because Bayonetta could totally work in the Mortal Kombat universe without much effort. I mean, I think it was more of an effort for her to be in Smash Brothers than it would be to beat Mortal Kombat, because Mortal Kombat's M-rated. So, and definitely doesn't care about scantily clad women, but that's neither here nor there.
Bayonetta would be modest.
Well, modesty.
Well, I mean, you do remember that her clothes disappear, right?
Yeah. So.
All right. Anyway,
but the other girls just don't really have clothes. Outside of the Earth Realm people.
It depends on the character, but yeah, I know what you mean. But anyway, so a lot of people are trying to decide whether this is real, whether this is fake, whether I think Tyler was talking to me like, oh, mate, I think it's just him hoping that this happens, but it just. You can't just tweet that with no context, but he literally, he straight up tweeted Mortal Kombat cross Bayonetta. So, I don't know. I mean, and remember,
this is just a bit of a reach, I think. I mean, we all know Hideki Kamiya is known for just tweeting whatever he wants. I mean, that's a big part of his personality. I wouldn't put any stock in this. I could see it as DLC with Ed Boon seeing the tweet and thinking, oh, this is interesting. But I don't think that they would let him announce it like that in a tweet. I mean, the creator of Bayonetta, that would be the announcement. Like if you're saying that was an actual announcement, I just that's such a weird and just ineffective way to do it. I don't see that at all.
Yeah, I agree, because like you don't announce something this exciting on Twitter of all things. I mean, if anything, is you go through the process, give it out a press release or something, put up like something of a direct of some sort, like with the combat cast,
right? With a video, or you know, not just Bayonetta cross Mortal Kombat.
Mm-mm.
There you go.
Right,
what's happening.
Right.
I don't think he would spill it like that either if it was something that was already being done. There's a language barrier, so I would think that this is just a. This would be really cool, and it would be really cool, and I could see it happening. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I could absolutely see her finning. As you said, I agree, Tachi. He almost makes more sense in Mortal Kombat than in Smash Bros. But I would still say it's not necessarily likely. It would be interesting.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if Bayonetta actually comes into Mortal Kombat, honestly, and just because. Like as everyone knows that recently in Mortal Kombat games they have been having guest characters.
Yes.
They had the alien. They had Freddy Krueger, Jason,
Predator.
Yeah, Predator.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in
Injustice. Yeah, they have all these guest
characters. Hellboy
and
Injustice.
Yes, yeah. And Hellboy. So I wouldn't put past Ed Boon and NetherRealm Studios to actually put a very out of left field character like Bayonetta.
But you look at those characters that they've put in, and they're very pop culture centric. Like they are, those are some big time.
Granted,
Alien and Predator, that's a big deal. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, same thing. Bayonetta's just, she doesn't fit their MO for what they've been doing. I mean, they could change it at any point. Bayonetta's not like an icon at all.
Well,
amongst gamers, I would see it, but I mean, she's not like. She's not close to the other characters. They put Freddy Krueger in Mortal Kombat 9. Like, that's a big deal. That's a guest star for you. But Bayonetta, I mean, that's just like a... Oh, as a gamer, that's pretty cool, but...
Yeah, as a gamer. I mean, obviously, it doesn't have that pop culture pop star power of it. But, again, because since Mortal Kombat 11 is coming to the Switch, perhaps... Maybe that's the inkling of maybe that's putting that Bayonetta likelihood of being in the game. So I don't know. That's just my hypothesis.
All right. So here's the other thing. Let's just pretend. Let's pretend for a minute that this is real. That Bayonetta is coming to Mortal Kombat 11. Here's the other thing I've been hearing. Would she be Switch exclusive DLC or would she be all platforms?
All
platforms. All platforms.
Yeah. Well, see, they have the out both ways, because Bayonetta was not born on a Nintendo console. Was born
right,
on the
right,
Xbox
right,
360
right,
and the PS3, and then Bayonetta 2 was exclusive to the Switch until it eventually came to Steam, or is coming to Steam, or something like that. But, so yeah, they have the out both ways. So,
yeah, I think it was definitely a multi-platform, multi-console, no doubt about that. I'm guessing, probably for the Switch, it's just a time exclusive, if anything else, maybe.
So,
yeah, I could see that.
It's interesting for sure. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I kind of would like to see it just because I would want to see her in, I would want to see her in Mortal Kombat just to see how she would interact with anybody, because I'm just imagining her like talking with, you know, Scorpion and Sonya and Raiden and everything. And
Yeah, that's one thing I like about the recent games. Yeah, just the convo, the banter between the characters. I love it.
It's gonna be good. All right, and our final piece of Platinum Games news. See, I told you they had a big week. There was a rumor going around. There is a rumor going around that Nintendo is bringing back a quote dead and buried game or IP or franchise. The wording is kind of unclear, but there was rumors about what it would be. Like, we were all thinking, like F-Zero or Star Fox or something like that. And then a piece of news came out. Take it away, Will.
So yes, you remember that game that was like showed up at the Microsoft press conference a year back that called Scalebound? Yeah, and then suddenly got canceled because I don't know, Microsoft decided to go and pull it off and just basically screw Platinum Games over.
It almost closed them down as a result.
So apparently that's the rumored game that's supposed to be bringing back on Nintendo Switch. And this was actually brought up by our boss, Keith, and said, like, again, Scalebound was originally a Wii pro. Was it a Wii U?
Yeah, it was a Wii.
A Wii property title originally, but then it got transferred to Microsoft. But as you know, Microsoft canned it, and now perhaps Nintendo's, like, finally gaining back the rights again to make Scalebound again. Who knows? Who knows? But again, this is I know like a lot of people, including Kami himself, like really wanted this game to be done.
Yes, that's what I heard.
And
Is it's like his pet project. It was one of his most passionate wishes was to create a game like this.
And right, and from what we saw of whatever of the footage that we had so far of that game in progress, I mean, again, like multiplayer, like think of it as Monster Hunter, but the fact that everyone has dragons is like, holy moly, that would have been so awesome on the Xbox One, but Microsoft.
Yeah.
So bringing it to the Switch, who knows? I mean, I would be very excited if they bring this t IP back from the grave.
Yeah. It's just I remember Scalebound. I remember, like, even though I knew I was not going to get the game because it wasn't on Xbox, it was impressive. And then all of a sudden it's canceled, and then it almost takes out Platinum Games. Like, some people forget that the only reason that Platinum Games is still around right now is because of Nier Automata. So and they've openly said if it wasn't for Nier, they weren't going to be around, which meant no Bayonetta 3, which meant no Astral Chain. So they had a lot going with that with Scalebound. All of a sudden, oh no, hey, Microsoft here, we're going to cancel it because we have faith in our other games like Crackdown 3. And
Oh my God. Poor bet, Microsoft.
This is
I
why this is
do
why
wonder why they decided to pull the plug. Like, they had to have had a reason. You don't just pull the plug for no, just because.
I mean, no, not like a just because reason, but I don't know why they went didn't trust Platinum Games enough to finish this. But if this is the case, if this is Scalebound coming back, A, awesome. B, I hope it plays great on the Switch, and I look forward to checking it out. So, but again, just a rumor.
Right.
Okay.
Until we get anything concrete, yes. For now, just shelf it as a rumor for the time being. But yeah, I just gotta say, like, Microsoft, you want to go for a shooter instead of like everyone having their own pet dragons? Do
No.
you see anything wrong with that? You get a pet dragon.
They gotta crack down on what they think is good or not. So,
Yikes.
yeah, I know. But I don't know. I would love it for Scalebound to come to Switch because it'll be another Platinum game on the Switch, more than likely exclusive because Nintendo will have brought it back, and it'll just be another link in their chain.
Not as good, not as good.
Not, well, I can't just say Astral Chain. That would be too much on the nose. So, gosh, not all of my rhymes are going to be platinum quality. Thank you. All right, moving on from platinum. I know it's going to be hard, but the January NPD numbers have come out, and not surprisingly, Nintendo Switch was actually, I'm going to take that back. Surprisingly, Nintendo Switch was on top. Now I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute, Todd. We had Smash Brothers, and those sales carried me over, and we have Mario and No More Heroes came out. That was a big month for. Then why would that be a surprise? But here's the thing. Kingdom Hearts 3 and Resident Evil 2 Remake, which are already the highest rated games of the year so far, came out within, you know, a week or so of each other, or days of each other. I can't remember when Resident Evil came out now. But either way, they came out in January, which means that, you know, there are a lot of people who no doubt bought a PS4 or maybe even Xbox One just to get these games. Or Kingdom Hearts is the only multi-platform one, but it didn't matter. Nintendo Switch beat the power of Kingdom Hearts. It defeated the zombie apocalypse of Resident Evil. It rose to the top on a port and a spin-off game. And more than that, and just as impressive, the Switch was the only console this month, and again, just in the US, to actually have an increase on where they were last year.
Ooh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me, given how old the other consoles are at this point. Even, I'm not surprised that the Switch was the number one, given that there was a new Mario game that was released. I mean, yes, a port, but most people didn't have a Wii U, so it feels like a new experience to
them.
This
is true.
And it reviewed pretty well, so I'm not remotely surprised that, you know, that game did well in particular. But it's definitely that newness factor. I mean, you're right, those two other games were definitely and probably better than what the Switch had. But I guess, I mean, what year is the PlayStation and Xbox going on now? Year over year, I'm not surprised that, the Switch is the only one that's up.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, Nintendo Switch, even though it's entering its second year, even though, and many argued that the second year was kind of bad, again, we had Smash, we had the new Super Mario Bros. Deluxe ports, even. People still want the Nintendo Switch. I mean, the fact that it's also one, I think it is, if not this even price on the PS4, so what, do you want to go power or do you want to go handheld? And, yeah. Like, the Nintendo Switch just has so much more potential. I mean, sure, Kingdom Hearts 3 and Resident Evil 2, I mean, both fantastic games in their own right, but Nintendo Switch, y'all, it's got potential and let's be honest, Sony is kind of looking kind of bare on the horizon, doesn't it? Besides some Days Gone and Last of Us 2, I mean, not to go jab at Sony because I'm also a Sony user, but yeah, even I gotta admit, it's like, what do you got, Sony? You're skipping out E3, so what else you got?
I think for me, it's just surprising because, again, Kingdom Hearts was, you know, 13 years in the making. That sounds like a specific number. And then Resident Evil 2, you know, there's a lot of people hyped for that. So, I don't know. I just felt it was surprising that they did apparently that well, I guess. I mean, and yes, the Switch had done well all in 2018. Smash Brothers was easily a momentum carrier for sure. But it just felt different. I don't know, but I'm going to be curious what February holds, because outside of, like, the demos and everything, there really wasn't a big release this month, was there?
No.
So. I mean,
well, you know what was interesting? The Pro Controller was the number one accessory, which
really?
I wonder why that was.
Smash Brothers.
Maybe for Mario? I mean, Smash, do you think it's for Smash, like, casual play, like, well, new players? Do you think they're playing Smash with the Pro Controller?
Hang on, because, this was also just got updated as well today, but prior to this recording, is basically it was on sale on Amazon because, like, as you know, the Pro Controller is like $80 total, $79.99. But on Amazon, and I also believe it was on Best Buy as well, it was dropped down to about like $15. Like, it's only at $57.99, so it was a good solid $15. $15 bargain.
Deal.
So yeah, I think that was the reason why the Switch Pro Controller was being sold so hotly, because again, it's a good saving even for a $15 deal. So I think that was the reason why.
Maybe. I mean, I know that a lot of people like the more controller-esque version of fighting games. Like, me and Keith, I think, were talking about this, and I agree. I mean, I don't mind playing Smash Brothers on the Joy-Cons. It works fine for me, but I know people prefer that more solid gripping, if you will. So we'll have to see. But again, good job, Nintendo. We'll see if that carries over. And then, of course, next month, we have a couple Final Fantasy games and Yoshi. So we'll see how that goes. All right. Speaking of Resident Evil, actually, Capcom is saying that they're going to have some news on certain Resident Evil games for Switch by the end of this month. Apparently, Resident Evil, Resident Evil 0, and Resident Evil 4 are all coming to the Switch this year. Okay. I mean, sure.
If you haven't gotten Resident Evil 4 already, like, yeah, I don't
Seriously?
see why you shouldn't have it now. I mean, it's pretty re-released so many times over. I mean, who hasn't played Resident Evil 4? I mean,
Me.
granted, I haven't. I never played Resident Evil 4, but yeah, if you haven't played Resident Evil 4, yeah, now you really have no excuse. Well, for the other ones, the original Resident Evil and Resident Evil 0, I mean, would be an interesting addition to the Switch. It would be, you know.
It's so interesting that these companies are all putting these games that really I would have never you never would have expected on the Wii U on Switch. They don't seem like Nintendo games, and yet after at this point almost 3 years or getting approaching year three of the Switch, they are coming. Games like Resident Evil, like really mature and dark titles at Nintendo, you really just expect them to steer clear of.
Right. And who called it in the draft pick?
You did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I all I can say is, where the heck is my Phoenix Wright? If you're so focused on Resident Evil, that means you have time to focus on all these other things. So where the heck is my Phoenix Wright game? And don't say the port will, because that's not the same. They promised us a new Phoenix Wright game last year, and they lied. And I am bitter. I'm not even gonna fake lie about it. I am bitter, dang it. I want my continuation. They left a plot point dangling in front of us. I demand to see it come to fruition on the Switch. Bitter. So dang bitter. But putting on my objective hat here, let me straighten it right here. There is no doubt that if slash when these come onto the Switch, there'll be another big third party get, even though, yes, they've been re-released a million times. Like Will said, not everyone has gotten to play it. So I can understand that. So yeah. Let's just move on. I want for one of Will's favorite people or companies, Atlus. Atlus are actually asking about Switch ports for their IPs. So for example, one is asking, where do you want to see Catherine in the future? Catherine, of course, just released its full body port, and one of them is Nintendo Switch.
And Full Body is the basically the enhanced version of the original game out in Japan currently right now. Will be released in this fall season.
Ah, so you're saying that in Catherine has an enhanced full body.
Yeah. And again, yep. And full, technically, the term "full body" is meant to describe wine, technically. So yes.
Oh, that is very true. That is very true, because yeah, I was about to go into wine. I actually know a lot about wine. That's actually kind of sad. But other games they asked about was, where do you want to see Dragon's Crown in the future? Where do you want to see Persona in the future? Where do you want to see Shin Megami Tensei? We already know about that, though. And Etrian Odyssey. So they're asking, and that's good. So go vote Switch.
It's just like, if this is the perfect time for the audience right now, if you want, like, bring Atlus properties to the Switch, this is the survey. Like, definitely demand it. And yeah, Sega. Yeah, if I remember correctly as well, Sega kind of did the same thing as well. Like, we're going to, what else do you want to come on, like, the PS4 and the Switch? Yeah, that's, this is kind of what they're doing on the same here with Atlus right now. So, and yeah, I remember people basically been clamoring because since you got Joker's review in Smash, they want a Persona 5 port on Switch. So I think this is definitely the opportune time to let your voice be heard. Bring Persona. Heck, I'd be very happy if they bring Persona 3 into the Switch universe, or even Persona Q games. Yeah, Persona, Shin Megami, heck, Dragon's Crown is by far one of the great just hack and slashers, like dungeon crawler games. If you, like, think Diablo basically, or think Gauntlet, is great on PS4. I would love to see it on the Switch. But yeah, Atlus, they have such great titles in the library, and more Immortals, all these Vanillaware games. I mean, I could gush about all and on, but
Oh,
basically,
I know you could.
yeah. I'm sorry. So,
No, it's
but
fine.
yeah, if you got a chance, yeah. So if you got a chance, you got time, definitely fill out a survey. Let them know what titles you want. If you want to come on Switch, on this PC. I mean, heck, I know Keith wants to play Persona 5 on the PC. I mean,
I'll
have
play
Catherine.
Persona 5 on Switch. We're supposed to get like a Persona 5 announcement soon, aren't we? And I'm not talking about Joker and Smash Brothers. Like, remember there was that teaser trailer and they were saying like March something. So we should be getting like, that Persona 5R thing or
Yeah,
something.
Persona 5 fighting game, or a Persona fighting game that they were talking about, but I think the reporting now is that it's delayed a little bit because they're working on a Granblue fighting game. But yeah, I mean, there is a Persona fighting game in the works.
All right, so we'll just see where that goes. I still want Persona 5 on Switch, especially with Joker coming. Confirmed this April, so yeah. Alright, one more thing before we get to our Reggie theme. Fire Emblem Three Houses, their Seasons of War special edition has sold out multiple times already.
Woo!
Yeah, and it was like less than 24 hours. Like the moment they went up on Best Buy, GameStop, and Amazon, they were already sold out. And they've gotten copies since then, but okay, this was a $100 special edition. It featured, like, you know, an art book, a steel book, music, and certain other things. But, you know, for it to be sold out, like, within 24 hours of its release, it's actually pretty cool. So,
I mean, the only thing I remember, like, it sold like this quickly was the collector's edition of Fire Emblem Fates, which had the three games in together.
That's what I got.
Well, yeah, I don't think even the Shadows of Valencia's collector's edition, like, went out this fast as well. So, yeah, I'm guessing, yeah. Many people are wanting a home console Fire Emblem for a long time, so yeah, I guess this kind of proves it.
Yeah, I will never forget.
And we don't know numbers, unfortunately, how many they had available. So that's definitely a factor. I didn't get one, and I'm a sad boy because I didn't get one.
Well, I mean, look on the websites again; they might be back. I mean, like a few hours after I posted the article, I think it was Best Buy got them back in stock. So yeah, but so keep checking. You got time.
Or, like, if anything else, naturally, if you could just go to a first-party store and just come to New York.
he's totally going to do that, Will.
Bit of a drive, but...
Yeah. Anyway, but I'll still never forget the night we were watching the Switch reveal event, and we all went and pre-ordered Switches at the same time.
Yes!
And then, like, the next day, they were all sold out. And we're
clutch.
Like, we got lucky! It was like, yeah. So, good times. Good times. Sadly, our good times are about to end. Well, metaphorically speaking, because as you all know by now, Reggie Fils-Aimé, the 15-year president of Nintendo of America, has officially announced his retirement from the world of video games. At least for the present, we can all hope for something in the future. But he made a very passionate video on Twitter. You should definitely go see it.
Yeah, the social medias, yes.
Yeah, social media, and of course, Nintendo sent a big press release about it. We wrote up something on our side about it, but we're going to pay tribute to Reggie in two different segments tonight, and we're going to start off by remembering our favorite Reggie moments, and the only place to do such a thing is in the Temple of Time. All right, so Reggie, again, 15 years, so many memories, so many memes.
yep.
So I want each of us to, let's do two of our favorite Reggie moments. And I'll start off because I will never forget, I think it was, what was it? It was E3 2016 or 17, and... I was a big fan at the time of a show called Robot Chicken.
Ah!
And basically what it was a stop-motion animation series that would do just a bunch of comedy skits. And I mean M-rated comedy skits, but they were very, very funny. And so imagine my surprise when I go to watch the E3 presentation. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing Reggie Fils-Aimé as a Robot Chicken doll. You know, like the style that they had, and it was all stop motion. They did the most of the press conference in Robot Chicken style, with everyone meeting the characters, and you know Mario losing it because he didn't have a game at the show this year, and Reggie like literally absorbed all the memes that he has been said about him and put it into this performance. Like there's gonna be some new games this year, and if you don't like that, that's not my problem. You know, and or like a fan talking about Mother 3 and him absorbing the fire flower and burning him alive.
Yeah.
What about Star Fox? Laser eyes, you know. It's like, it was just so funny. And then, of course, they had, like, all the other good stuff. Like, you know, Mario losing it. And Little Mac not being able to hold coffee because of his boxing gloves. And, you know, Princess Peach. It was just, it was so wrong, but it was so right because it was wrong because you're like, if you know Robot Chicken, you're screaming, oh my gosh, this is Robot Chicken, what's going on? But then they made all these Nintendo jokes and Reggie was the centerpiece of all of it, and it was like, okay, this is really cool actually. So yeah, I will never ever forget that as long as
yeah, just like how Reggie, like, I'm a guy. Like, I'm gonna go nuclear on these people, like, just because, like, that. It's like, what a lot! I mean, this is kind of, like, one of the, like, one of the beginning moments where we see Nintendo, like, gotta go, not afraid to go onto the edgier content, I mean, as with Robot Chicken style, is like, yeah. Holy moly.
But it also showed me, and not that Reggie had not shown this before, but Reggie is always open to fun ideas. Like, literally, like, his lifeblood, is he's always open to new ideas, new experiences. And I'm sure when someone pitched him the idea, hey, let's do it like Robot Chicken, because you know that was the reference point. Hey, let's do it like Robot Chicken. He goes, okay, explain it to me. And then he heard the ideas. He goes, that's a good idea. Let's do that. You know? And so it's just like, they're that open to, like, he was open to taking the heat because he was making fun of the memes of him. And that was just, it was pure Reggie, and I loved it. So that's my first one. I'll say the second one for the next round. But Will, how about you? Give me one of your favorite Reggie moments.
Oh man, if there's one Reggie moment I gotta love, is probably the beginning of E3 2014, when they at this turn time of the Wii U, basically when they're finally showing off the Smash Bros. Wii U, and we see Satoru Iwata and Reggie getting ready to brawl it out.
You took mine. I hate you.
I mean, come on. That thing is literally a bloody JoJo reference. The moment they just went to, like, training punches and Reggie was just blocking them all, it was a bloody JoJo reference, if anything else. Like, just, like, see that. If you see those matchups on YouTube, like, with JoJo style, and it's like, oh my god, that was, like, absolutely just... It was just like, holy moly. This is one of the reasons why I love Nintendo. Like, two bosses of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata, Reggie Fils-Aimé, folks really going smashing just to the point. It's like, this Nintendo is the epitome of fun, and just like that moment right there is kind of only emphasizing even more that two corporate figureheads can have so much fun. It's just like, like, Reggie, this is why I love you, man. Like, the fact that, as you said, Ty, like, Reggie is just that overall fun guy. He's like, he really wants to do this thing and just want to bring the smiles. And he's kind of like that light, that light in the street. You know that he really does it for the games and does it for the fans. I mean, heck, I still remember, like, even with the times when he appears on, let's see, yeah, what, I think Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. And he's like, again, I also just recently discovered as well, he was born here in New York with Haitian parents. So I guess that was the reason why he, like, always comes to appearance in Times Square. And in a Rockefeller Center, I was very lucky to actually have a visage of him, like, when I was getting my Wii U during that cold winter's night, and just seeing how much he just absorbs the audience and his fans is like, yeah. And just going back to the moment of 2014, like Smash Brothers, he knows everybody wanted Smash Brothers on the Wii U, and when we got that news right there in 2014, it's like, Reggie, this is why I love you, man. This is why we call you Reginator.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, Tyler?
I will go in a similar direction, but not the same one. That same year, actually, and also Smash Bros., Nintendo held a Smash Bros. Invitational, the first Smash Bros. Invitational at that E3, and Reggie ran it. And during that event, Hungrybox, a prominent Melee player, was there, and Zero, I think, won the event, but Hungrybox challenged Reggie to play Smash one-on-one, and Reggie declined the offer, politely and humorously, as he often did, but he said that he would train up and maybe they would get their match one day. Well, the next year, Reggie did come out and give Hungrybox the match that he had promised him. Of course, Hungrybox, being one of the best Smash Bros. Players of all time, just wiped the floor with Reggie. Reggie took it like a champ. But he, instead of, so after the match was over, You know, they shook hands, and Hungrybox said, "Man, you know, you suck at Smash Bros." And Reggie, you know, never one to just take a punch like that, said, looked at him and said, "Sir, you play Smash Bros for 16 hours a day. I spend 16 hours a day running a company," and just dropped the mic, just slapped him across the face and walked away and said, "Yeah, I'll train up and I'll rematch you again." And I don't think that rematch ever happened.
No, I don't think it did.
It was just so Reggie to just the deadpan, because Hungrybox, funny guy, was just poking fun at him. And Reggie just slapped him across the room with just an ultimate burn. It was great. So that's one of my favorite Reggies.
Gosh, that's good stuff. All right, I bet this one is one you don't remember. It was during the Wii U era, which probably means you don't remember, but it was when they unveiled the Wii Balance Board.
Oh, yes, I love that moment.
Yeah, and so, of course, the Wii Balance Board, which was the one that surprisingly hit things about the Wii U, which no one saw coming, I guarantee you, but they were displaying all the features of it, and one of the things was about how it can measure your body and weight via you standing on it. So naturally, Reggie, not one to shy away, stepped on it, and it was like rigorous during his body mass index, and it said he was well overweight. And yeah, Reggie took that in stride and goes, "I think this thing needs some calibrations," you know, and he laughed it off, and then he played the soccer game, and he was, like, getting all into it because, you know, he's trying to show off the capabilities of the Wii U Balance Board, and there was just something so pure and simple about that moment where, oh, they didn't bring, you know, some of the Treehouse crew to come and demo it. He brought himself and he's like, "I will do this for you to show you that I can get into this. And so if I can get into this, you can get into this." And sure enough, the Wii Balance Board was one of the best things about the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's with Reggie, it doesn't have to be the like the epic announcements. It could just be him talking smack like Tyler mentioned, or him being on a Wii Balance Board and laughing about the fact that he was slightly overweight and everything. So it was just that that innocence that he had. He was one of us.
Yes.
And it was so good. I used to describe Nintendo, the three heads of Nintendo at the time were Miyamoto, Mr. Iwata, and Reggie, and I went, Miyamoto's the rock star, all right?
Yes.
He shows up when he wants, with the games he wants, and what he wants to talk about, and we all love him for that. Mr. Iwata is the technical genius. He's the guy who will talk about, you know, things like the vitality sensor, which never came to be, but he know it meant something to him. And he'll talk about the evergreen titles, and he'll talk about the specs of a console because he wants you to understand. And then you got Reggie. He's like Will opened up with, "I'm here to kick butt, take names, and make games." And every time he came onto the stage, you were expecting him to say something fun and reveal something interesting, and he almost always did. So, and I'm so gonna miss that.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, man. Amen to that.
All right, how about you? What's your second favorite Reggie moment, Will?
I'm kind of like deliberating between the two, but I'm gonna go with basically the year after and go with 2015, and that is Puppet Reggie.
Oh no!
Who would have thought that the creators of the Muppets will actually make a Muppets of the three Reggie, Puppet Reggie, Puppet Iwata, and Puppet Miyamoto is like, a puppet. Nintendo 63, Nintendo 64.
That was so fun.
That was legendary.
It's like, holy moly, Reggie Fils-Aimé in puppet form. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
No one did. You do know the one sad thing about that whole sketch was, right?
That was the last one of Iwata's?
Yes, that was the last of Iwata's. May he rest in peace. No, I was referring to the fact that was the only good thing that came out of Star Fox Zero.
Yes.
Because that trailer was hype. I mean, that trailer was like, oh man, they're going for, like, you know, super furry Star Fox. They're pushing the graphics. Okay, Star Fox in space again.
Like, do a barrel roll.
That was a great one. Barrel roll. Watch this. You know, that was funny stuff.
Yeah. And so they bad. Puppet Reggie was basically Falco.
Yeah. Hey, Falco's cool. He made it into Smash Brothers. So, could have been worse. He could have been Slippy.
And
I like
yeah,
Slippy
like,
more than Falco. Falco's the worst.
well,
Oh, gosh.
he's more New Jersey, if anything else. So I
Right.
think you probably relate that.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
yeah, like,
true.
but granted, yeah, Reggie of 2014 was just great. But just as a minor thing, as an honorable mentions, because like, I also just can't help but remember all his like mini Nintendo Directs, especially when he like announced that like we're gonna give you one final trailer, and that was the moment that he announced that Cloud for Smash. He
Yeah.
knew that Cloud was coming because that like one final trailer. They always clue it in, and like just how he like in the Nintendo Directs of what he does is just like even though he's a corporate head, he knows how to dodge like press questions. He, as you said, he's one of us. He's a gamer. He's
Yeah.
he doesn't do it for money. That's
No.
one of the rare things about this, like one of the rare things that really gives me hope from Nintendo is like he doesn't do it for money. He really does it for the love of the game and the art form it is, and the way he does presents himself in directs in E3 is just again he as I said he's the one the light of the industries, and to see him go and retiring is like farewell my old friend. I'm gonna miss you.
Yeah, we all are. Okay, Tyler, how about you? What's your final one?
My final one is, and I think we'll actually touch on this in our next segment, is what he did at E3, or not E3, the Game Awards this year when he came out with Sony's Shawn Layden, I want to say,
Yeah, Sean Layden and Phil
and
Spencer.
Phil Spencer, and the three of them came out on the stage as a kind of united gaming front. And now I know it's definitely a little cheesy. But at the same time, I thought that that was a really kind of powerful moment where the gaming industry, which is always just filled with, not filled with, but the loudest voices are always the ones that are negative and the most divisive. And oh, Sony's great, Nintendo stinks, Nintendo's great, Microsoft stinks, all that stuff. They came out together and they kicked off the show, which I thought was profound. But more to it than that, I think it really symbolized one what Will had said last time that Reggie was one of us. He was a gamer. And he just enjoyed the industry at large. But I also think that it kind of showcased what might be Reggie's most important piece of his legacy, and that's the kind of connection that he's formed with Microsoft here later in his final years as the president. Because without Reggie, I don't think that we see this cross-play stuff. And I don't think we see Xbox Live coming to Switch, and I don't think we see the now rumored Game Pass coming to Switch. That's Microsoft obviously being a North American company. That's I'm sure that he had to work with Japan on that, but that's very much Reggie's area of expertise. And I think that looking back, we might view that moment at the Game Awards where he came out with the three of them as kind of the moment the gaming industry came together and recognized, hey, wait, we're stronger together rather than fighting within ourselves. Because really, as Reggie himself always used to say, gaming companies are fighting for your free time. They're not necessarily just fighting each other. They're competing with Netflix and they're competing with board games and all that other stuff that you do in your leisure time. That's really the biggest competition. And I think Reggie always understood that, and that moment really kind of summarized that.
Yeah, it was a very powerful, and no one saw it coming. I mean, you'd think that like something like this would be leaked to high heaven. Oh, there's gonna be a special, Unity showing at the Game Awards, but no, Keighley just dropped it, and like, everyone cheered. Everyone cheered. It didn't matter if you were Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo fans. You cheered. I cheered. I know you do. You two did. So, and it's just. All it took was one of them to say no, and the whole thing would have been ruined. But they all said yes. Reggie, I bet, emphatically said yes, and it's a nice capper on his legacy. So, yeah, we're gonna miss you, Reggie. We
I
really
know, I
are.
miss him
Yeah,
already.
I miss him. Well, okay, let's clarify. He's not gone yet. He is retiring
That's
as of April 15th of this year. So we
yes.
technically still have 2 months left to go.
I
And
know.
plenty of time to have another Nintendo Direct and, another big announcement, as many of us are hoping he does. But yeah, It's gonna be something without him. So
yeah. And which we're gonna be learning to, like, I'm just really surprised as we're gonna go to the next segment is we're going to what who's gonna be taking over his position.
So his replacement has already been named in the form of Doug Bowser. Yes, Doug Bowser. Now, in case if you somehow don't know, he has been at Nintendo for a very long time. He's done plenty of interviews. We've honestly talked about news he's provided here on the show before. But I believe it was the sales and marketing director, of Nintendo of America. So now he's going to be taking over as president. He has had a long history with the company, with fans. So he's a very good replacement. But the question remains, what does he need to do to fill the gap that the Reginator left over? And the big question of all, is his body ready? We're going to answer these questions in a Nintendo discussion. All right, Tyler was actually the one who came up with this idea. I just wanted to do a tribute to Reggie. I wanted to sing his praises for all of the podcasts, but Tyler said no. So, yeah, Tyler, you can lead this. You can lead this segment then.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that with Reggie stepping down, Nintendo of America is obviously going to be – there's going to be some changes. They're going to be going in a different direction with Doug Bowser stepping in. And I think this is kind of a good time to say, you know, where do they go from here? What – do we need to see what has Nintendo America done that we don't like that with new leadership, we could perhaps see changed? What do we expect and what do we want? I guess we'll start with you, Will, because I think I know one of the things that you would like to see Nintendo of America change. But now that Reggie is gone and there's kind of a chance that we'll see some different ideas, what do you want to see? What do you want to see Nintendo America do differently?
I gotta admit, I'm actually having a bit of a difficult time to think about it because, like, under Reggie's leadership, like, Nintendo basically has done, I mean, obviously there's still some fields that have to work, but Nintendo generally has done very well on what they're doing now, especially with the current Switch lineup. But if there's anything that I probably have to say that they have to do better, I mean, of course, naturally, there's the Nintendo Online, but in terms of leadership, I guess it's more or less just the fact of, like, continuing to be, like, just be clear with its audience, if anything else. Because, like, we previously told that, like, Nintendo, there'll be times when they listen to its fans, and there'll be times they just kind of do that Nintendo move that they've always been known for. So, like, anything else, that's one thing I kind of like, hopefully this with Doug Bowser taking over leadership, is that they become a bit more on the more savvy in regards to, like, the current generation of times, especially with the internet age. Like, I'm pretty sure as well, like, Reggie, like, he says he reads the comments, he reads the boards of all things, like, what Nintendo fans want. Like, hopefully Doug Bowser also has that same savvy, that same internet sense that's like has been helping Nintendo of recent lates. So definitely one thing for sure, how Nintendo can improve is definitely continue being that internet savvy, be generational, be aware of the current generations, like, what is their trend, what is that they want, especially like with like the current trends of like mobiles, like board games. As I said, it's like, yeah, just basically be savvy of the current generation.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. Reggie was amazing, and I don't think that Doug Bowser, I mean, he seems like he's a really smart guy and a likable guy. I don't think he'll be able to kind of capture that same charm that Reggie had, just as Furukawa and Kimishima couldn't capture Satoru Iwata's personality. He was just kind of irreplaceable. They had to kind of go in a different direction. I don't think we'll see that kind of level of meme ability from Reggie.
The fact that he's named Bowser, I mean, that he always earned one.
Yeah, true. I mean,
that's a starting point. It's definitely a starting point. See, I thought for sure Will would say that he would like to see less localization or less intense censorship.
Yeah, that's also kind of the one thing I would, because at like the recent games, the fact that I have Mortal Kombat coming to Nintendo Switch, that's amazing already as it is. So that will be my close second, is that Because Nintendo has been very good in allowing the games, including visual novel games. I mean, heck, God bless Nintendo for allowing Nekropara coming into the middle of the Switch. But bless them. And yeah, like the fact that allowing, because they are aware that games are just that. They are games. I mean, they're art forms. They could be expressed even if it doesn't appeal to your tastes. But they know that there is a market out there. If it's not, if you don't like visual novels, fine. If you don't like, I don't know, a bit more like it's kind of on the edgy content, fine. I mean, the fact that we have Shadow of the Col not Shadow of the Colossus, sorry, Wolfenstein Shadow of the Colossus, yeah, Colossus, something like that.
The new
That's
Colossus. No,
a
wait.
thank, thank you,
Is
thank
it the
you,
new
thank you.
Colossus? Yeah, the new
No, I
Colossus.
think. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, the fact that they're having even more on the edgy content, and they understand that it's not gonna appeal to everyone, but the fact that also like no, they won't abandon like those who actually want these things on the Switch, they listen to it. So yeah, that is also my close second as well, Ty. Yes.
For me, it's hard to say what should Nintendo of America do better, because it's not always Nintendo of America. It's also, Nintendo of Japan, and while Reggie was the president of the American branch, he doesn't control Nintendo. He didn't control Nintendo fully, so it's a curious question to ask per se, but I will say that A, we just need to find out what the heck Retro is doing. I mean, dear gosh. But another good idea I think would be to kind of look at what, and I never thought I'd say this, but look at what Microsoft is doing in regards to getting more studios under their banner. Because with the Switch, they're doing a really great job of getting all these games out first and third party. But they're gonna run out of, major first party titles to give. Because, I mean, if you look at everything we've already gotten so far, we're already getting another Zelda game and
Right.
another Mario game. Granted, different ones, and that's totally fine. But or what's next? Are we going to get another Kirby game in a year or two? And we know Metroid's coming, and that's great, and Pokemon's coming, but the library only goes so deep. But the difference here is that if you get more studios under your banner, you have the opportunity for more new IPs, more exclusives, or at least exclusive to this console, and you have the opportunity for more growth, more room to grow, because there was a time when Monolith Soft wasn't with Nintendo, or at least not fully with Nintendo, and we have Retro, but what else is there besides them in America? Sony has a lot of great American studios, and that's one of their strong points. So, we got a lot of great Japanese studios. Let's get some more American studios in there. Let's keep making these. Giving Reggie was all about new opportunities, even when those new opportunities sucked. You know what I'm talking about, Reggie? You think I forgot about Wii Music? No, I didn't. We're gonna announce a really big game at E3. Enter Wii Music. Say what? So, but give these new opportunities, like whether it's to these indie game studios, which you're already killing it with, but don't be afraid to reach out more. And I've said this for years. Don't be afraid to go to these third-party companies like Capcom and say, what's one game you want to make, but none of the other people were willing to publish it? Because I know that there's a guy at Capcom that wants to make a new Darkstalkers game. Let him!
Yes,
Right.
I mean, and yes, now I understand that not all of these will work. Like, I'm not sure the Darkstalkers would sell. But you don't know. You never know. I mean, you'd think that after Marvel vs. Capcom 3 that the next Marvel Capcom game would do well. We all know what happened there, but you didn't know until you made it. And so I say, why not go with Darkstalkers? Why not? There's a fan base out there for it. And then with Square Enix, they're making all kinds of old school RPGs with Octopath Traveler, Anunnaki, or whatever that new one is. Yeah, that one, and of course all their Final Fantasy titles. They're taking risks, and they know that they can count on Nintendo now to house some of these risks, and they're paying off. Like Octopath Traveler sold well over 1 million, so go to these companies and say, hey, we have a console that everyone is loving. What's a game that you've wanted to make, but you didn't have a console to put it on? We'll take it. Expand yourself in as many new ways as possible so that it doesn't matter what the other companies are doing. You know that you are loaded with titles from top to bottom, which is definitely something that Microsoft can't say.
I mean, that's a great point. That's kind of similar to where I was going to go with it, is that And for the longest time, I mean, Nintendo's been much better recently with it, but it was really hard to work with Nintendo if you were a third party or indie developer.
Oh, yeah.
And Reggie took a huge stride towards kind of easing those. And I mean, you're right, Todd. Obviously, there are multiple branches of Nintendo that all work in unison, but these individual entities of Nintendo of Japan, Nintendo, they're separate for a reason. You know, Reggie makes decisions at the top of the chain. And if you're a North American developer, that's who you're working with. You're working with Nintendo of America if you're trying to get your games over there. And I think I love to see them kind of continue on that connection building process where they work with these both major and new developers to get them to bring their games to Switch and make it easier to do that, because for the longest time it was really challenging for people to develop on Switch. Their development kits were weird. Indie devs had a strange kind of threshold where Nintendo really embraced some and really shunned others. And I kind of understand that quality control idea. But if you're going to try to compete at this point, I think it's really important to kind of continue to go in the direction that Reggie was taking them. Especially Doug Bowser, actually, he has connections at EA. I know EA has a bad rap, but EA is one company that really has not supported the Switch much at all. And I could see that kind of changing under Doug Bowser. He has connections there. That's definitely how these things kind of work. You know, get on the phone with them and see if we can come up with some cool concepts for games that they could bring to Switch.
I'm sorry. Regarding to recent news regarding to EA, I apologize for being biased, but I really hope that EA doesn't really taint too much into Nintendo's library, honestly.
Agreed.
I don't know. I mean, I think that that's such a black and white way to look at something. I mean, if you can create a healthy relationship with them, that could benefit both them and Nintendo and gamers. I mean, I think that it's kind of simple-minded to say, oh, I don't like the way they are now, so therefore I don't want them to support this console. EA is important. And through a connection with Nintendo, you might be able to see a change in their corporate policies. I agree, EA is kind of a scummy company. They have started to move in the right direction.
Never forget FIFA 18 on Switch.
I mean, you're not wrong. But that's a lot because of just Switch. I mean, FIFA's a technical game. It's a massive game. And it's one that really the Switch just isn't capable of producing at its best.
I can understand it to an extent, but they literally said that they made a custom engine for the Switch, which I was fine with, and then it had all of these issues. It had all of these problems. It was terrible. And they were hyping it up like, oh yeah, this is gonna be just like, you know, just like the other one, just a different engine, which I understood. You know, okay, some of the modes can't be done because
they didn't say that, right? I mean, they didn't say it was just like the other one. We knew this was messed up.
They said they implied. They implied.
Yeah,
no, they didn't.
Tyler, but EA, unfortunately, when they try putting fairly respectable IPs onto the Switch, when it comes down to it, they really do a very poor job in localizing, bringing it to the Switch. Honestly, if you ask me, it's just
EA's track record is not really great. FIFA.
Well. Honestly, I can't, because I can't remember another EA game that's come to the Switch outside of FIFA.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. But if we go back to the Wii days, all right, they honestly had a lot of games on Wii. Like, they brought Madden to the Wii a few times, but it was always so inferior. And granted,
right, because the Wii was such a weaker console compared to, and they tried to shoehorn in motion controls, which obviously doesn't work, but it's a very different landscape now than it was then. Nintendo has a healthy relationship with a lot of the major developers. EA is the only one that they don't. And I don't see how that's a bad thing,
creating
a healthy relationship. Well, that's what Will and you both were just saying previously.
No, I thought you were going to say it's not a bad thing to not have that. I mean, yes, it's fine to not have a relationship with EA.
Yeah, don't have a relationship with EA. Do not have a relationship with them.
No, look.
I can't believe that you would say that. That doesn't make any sense.
we've seen over the last few years that they are so desperate for money and of anything else that they'll ruin.
As Rocky Balboa once said, if I could change you can change.
Oh my god, are you seriously referencing Rocky? For
no,
this?
if we're gonna do the Rocky quotes, we gotta do the one that's about Nintendo. It doesn't matter how you get hit, it matters about how you get here and keep moving forward, because that's how well it's done!
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
I know that's
exactly,
not my best
exactly,
Rocky impression.
Exactly.
I wasn't trying there. I can do a great Rocky impression, but it won't convey over the microphone, so...
Yeah,
okay,
no, that's fine. Yeah, we can live without it.
Yeah, I have a legendary Rocky impression, but I can't do it here because of the microphone. Anyway, no, seriously, I brought my dad to tears. I think those were tears.
So, let's say EA, like a year from now, is like a good company. Right, but why do you like? I don't understand. A lot could happen in 3 years.
No,
look at Star Wars.
Maybe not even harder.
Hear me out on this. Look at Star Wars Battlefront, right? They got a big deal with the Microsoft Jackson. Like, it didn't sell well. They got burnt. But since then, they have stepped back. They are paring back. Look at Anthem right now. They are paring back the microtransactions in the game. They're cosmetic microtransactions. That game was going to be based around those. And EA, to their credit, listened. They said, okay, people don't like these. We're gonna back off it. Now, I agree. They are much more forthright about the fact that they are just trying to make a crap ton of money, but
yeah.
Look at every one of these companies doing that. You don't think that they're coming to work on, or they're bringing games to Switch out of the goodness of their hearts. They're bringing their games to Switch because the Switch sells really, really well, and there's a high demand for games on Switch. I think that kind of assuming that EA is somehow inherently worse and will always be
evil.
Worse, that just limits the future so much.
Look, there is always, if Nintendo has taught us anything, and you're right about this, it's that things can change. Again, they went from, you know, the GameCube to the Wii, to the Wii U, to the Switch, and, that's actually, never mind, that's another topic. it's like, I'm seeing a pattern here. No, look, they've proven that, you know, risks can work and risks can fail, and relationships can work and relationships can fail. And they've proven themselves with the Switch that they love the indie gamers. They want to have something that everyone can have fun with, even if the graphics aren't uber super, you know, 4K plus knuckles.
Right.
And you know, they've reestablished themselves as a destination for third parties, and that's great. And can EA get better? Absolutely. No one is beyond redemption. And I've already got three companies in my mind that are beyond redemption. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. It's not three. It's more like one. Anyway, but EA gets in their own way. That's what happened with Mass Effect Andromeda, because it clearly wasn't done. But you know EA interfered because BioWare would never have released that crap before. We saw what happened with Battlefront, Need for Speed, UFC 3. And on and on and on. Now, yes, they have scaled back. And yes, Anthem appears to be, you know, a much more scaled back. But I'm already hearing bad reviews about it. But that could be
Anthem
about
does not look like a very good game. I will say that. But
yeah.
Apex, on the other hand, Apex Legends, that has been huge.
This is
That's
true.
The team behind Titanfall, if I believe.
Yes, Titanfall.
I'm
it's Respawn Entertainment.
Yeah. So. And you're telling me that you wouldn't buy Mass Effect Collection on Switch.
If I would buy Andromeda on Switch if it was actually, you know, playable, but I don't think that's going to happen. But, and no, I honestly wouldn't buy the collection on Switch just because, actually, would I buy it on there? It would depend on how
I mean, I would. I probably would
just because it's been a long time and I would be up for playing it again, but it would just depend on how it looks in place because ports, because they did the collection for the Switch, no, the Wii, and it wasn't good at all. So, you know, we'll have to see. Look, you're right that EA could be a valuable asset, but it as in all things, it depends on how it's done. Like, I'm cautious about Capcom because while they did bring Mega Man to the Switch and it was good, and while they're hopefully going to bring Phoenix Wright back to the Switch, it'll likely be very good. But, you know, they're bringing all these Resident Evil ports and it's kind of confusing and I'm not sure where that's going to lead, but... You know, every company is their own worst enemy, and Nintendo has very much been a proof of this over the years. So the question is not, can EA change? It's, will EA change? And right now, though they've made strides, it's not enough.
No, I mean, I definitely agree, but I do think that if the day were to come where they came around, I think that's one of the big pluses of having Doug Bowser there is that connection to such a major a major publisher, developer.
Right. And also, just a reminder as well, Doug Bowser was mentored under Reggie for 4 years. So doubt about it, he has definitely picked up something from the originator himself. So if anything else, the core values of why he has ruled Nintendo for so long. So
And he's already popped up on Twitter thanking everyone for their warm welcome. And if you notice in the background,
that's so funny.
He has not only, and this is what people miss, not only is he tied up Mario and Luigi with a game, either like the Smash Brothers GameCube controller or one of those. Directly under those are Bowser Jr., two Goombas, and Dry Bones. And then he's got a Goomba looking over his shoulder. He is Bowser. Like, this is his army. And so, now before we wrap up, I want to ask you guys this. When should we quote unquote see Doug Bowser? Should we see him in the next Nintendo Direct, which I would now bet any amount of money is before April 15th, before Reggie leaves? Should we have a section where Reggie says goodbye and he welcomes in Doug and he starts talking, or should they wait for E3 2019, where he'll no doubt be one of the runners of the digital show and the treehouse, obviously?
Yeah, I think that while I would love to have a sentimental Nintendo Direct, which like basically Reggie passes on the torches to Doug Bowser, I feel like E3 will probably be the best time to like introduce into the new age for the new year of Nintendo. So I feel like E3 is probably the likely bet.
I would go the other way. I think I'd rather see it at a Nintendo Direct where we can kind of see the passing of the torch. I think that I kind of like the visual of that. I think that would make the transition a little bit easier, especially if we get, especially if they want to go in the direction that Reggie has been going with this sort of comedic approach to these events. I think that's a great way to kind of do it in a seamless way.
Well, we'll just have to see, I suppose. But I wish Doug Bowser all the best. Just remember the three rules of Nintendo. Number one, the fans are your friends. And he's already proven that he's a great guy with the fans. If you saw the Reggie video, it was great. Number two, do what you can to make the company better. That's why Reggie was so beloved, just because he wasn't just trying to do the best for the fans. He was always trying to do the best for the company, and that's why he was respected. And number three, and arguably most important of all, don't kidnap the princess, okay? Okay? It's just, it's been done. It's been done so many times, all right? You don't need to put your mark on that. You've got the top job now. Why do you need the princess, all right? So, again, Reggie, our friend, our Nintendo guardian. Mm-hmm. It makes it sound like we're talking like he's dead. He's not dead. He's retired.
He's leveling up. He's leveling up.
Yeah. He has evolved into the rank of family man, and I can respect that. So, Reggie, for 15 years of fun, funny moments, fun games, fun times, and enough memes to break the internet, potentially. There's always room for one more. We thank you from the bottom of our Nintendo-filled hearts, and we wish you the best of luck with your family, with your friends, and whatever you do next. And should you decide to come back to Nintendo in any capacity, know that we will welcome you back with open arms. So, with that, we are ending this Reggie-filled episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Oh, Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you to grade the Nintendo Direct, and you were not totally in love with it. That was an interesting plot twist. A did get the highest number of votes with 29%, B with 21%, C with 29%, and D or F with 21%. So it was kind of a split audience.
That's shocking. I mean, I can understand maybe a few C's, but that much with, the D or F, man, bunch of haters.
Probably either they really, really didn't like it or just a whole lot of trolls. Who knows?
All right. So, obviously, tonight's poll question has to be about the one and only Reggie Fils-Aimé. So, let's just make it straight to the point. What do you feel about Reggie leaving? A, I'm sad to see him go. B, I wish he wasn't leaving, but okay. C, I am so crushed right now. D, Reggie!
yes.
So, do vote on that, and we will let you know what it's gonna what you voted on next week. And of course, let us know about what you thought about all the news today, not just about Reggie, but about Platinum Games and what's all going on with them. Are you excited for the potential Resident Evil Switch ports? What would you like to see from Atlus being ported over to the Switch, and so on and so forth. So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.